Everyone, this is Pete, one half of the crack team at the So Bad It's podcast. Just wanted to let you know we've got another little So Bad bit coming your way in this episode. You know, sometimes John and I just like to hit record and kind of see where the conversation takes us. Where it took us this time starts off with John asking me who my favorite president is, and that leads to Gary Coleman, the Brady Bunch, and J.V. Jones, who made it to the varsity and is now known as Davy Jones. So, if you can trace the lineage of how this conversation gets from point A to point Z, you are a saner person than I. Anyway, enjoy this episode. Thank you, I was going to say, as always, for listening, but I think this is the first time I've ever said it. So, thank you for listening. And be sure to catch us on Twitter, at SoBadCast. Enjoy episode 11. 10, 12. Enjoy the episode.
Do you have a favorite president of all time? And I don't mean living, and I don't mean our lifetime. Like, do you just, whether it's history, reading about them, just some kind of, you know, interesting stories, just the way they looked?
I always really liked the presidency of Gary Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
He was a really good president.
I don't want to cut you off or anything, because I know you are like
there
a
you go.
History
it's
buff.
Always about the height, cutting people off.
Yeah, I know you had like a Mensa 0.95 in history, but Gary Coleman was never president. He was present on different strokes, but I don't think he was ever president, was he?
You don't remember the What You Talking About platform?
I mean, I remember him standing on something to be able to reach the kitchen counter to grab the cookies.
Yeah, and to feed the goldfish, Abraham.
Oh, yeah.
That was his entire presidency.
I never really realized that.
He was one of the best.
First Lady, Charlie.
Oh, hi, President Ronaldo.
Arnold, get out of my way tonight. Charlene's coming over and she doesn't want to listen to any of your political speak.
We're just going to have a nice quiet evening listening to some records.
Hey, Willis, thanks for having me over tonight.
Oh, no problem whatsoever, Charlene.
Willis, remember, you cannot take the limo out tonight by yourself because you're too young to drive and it's a limo.
Oh, no, it's Secretary of State Mr. Drummond.
But Dad, Charlene,
it's First Lady Adelaide.
I won't speak again about it, Willis.
Mr. Drama.
How many times, Adelaide? Not at the dinner table.
We got to do something.
You're the Conrad Bain of my existence.
Who would have been great to throw in to Different Strokes from another show? Like, you know how they do the mashups nowadays? And they did some back in the day, but like, if you could have had somebody from a different show that you liked just suddenly show up on Different Strokes, who would it be?
You were talking from the same time period?
It doesn't matter. Around that time. I mean, I think Mr. T was on that show,
yep,
wasn't he?
He was.
So
yep.
that doesn't count.
Dudley? No, he was on the show.
Yeah, Dudley was on the show.
Robbie?
Show. on the show.
What about like a black goldfish? Damn it.
No, they had that. Abraham.
Shit.
Yep.
Dudley's dad?
Oh, wait.
No, damn it.
I have an easier question for you. Clearly, this question's given you some trouble. if a different grip, you know, grip for us, because Pete and
Kung
I...
Kung Fu.
No, grip meaning the person that holds the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
If a different grip from a different show, I know this is exciting, so let me finish,
mm-hmm.
could join that show, which grip, what show's grip would okay. you want on Different Strokes grip
mm-hmm.
to, you know, really make things, to mix things up a little bit, make things exciting?
Okay. All right. Now, this is easy. I would pick Tingles the cat.
Yeah.
Who was the grip from Simon and Simon.
Okay. What? There was a cat that actually held the microphone, the boom mic?
Yeah.
Really?
Tingles.
That's a hell of a grip. Tingles, you got a hell of a grip. That's a really good answer. Surprised me a little bit. For people who are not in the business like Pete and I are, the grip is the person that holds the boom mic. And I've been in the business for so long. I think I learned that like 2 years ago or 3 years ago or something.
You've been in the business so long, you're giving people the business.
Yeah, I've been giving them the business, but I've been charging them a lot to take the business.
That's only fair.
Yeah, it's a business after all.
Yeah.
I think, all right, here's another one. If you could substitute the maid from Different Strokes with a different maid, mm-hmm. Who would it be? I mean,
it would be the maid from that show with the blonde.
Yeah. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that maid, though, not mm-hmm. the show with the blonde.
Yep.
That's awesome. Maids were used a lot in shows, weren't they? We think about it.
There were a lot of rich white people in the 80s that needed some help.
But it's like, I'm trying to think, like the Brady Bunch, right? I know the dad worked a lot. Mom was home, right, for most of the show. And they did have six kids, so I mean, it's
right.
Do you need a maid if you're staying at home? I don't know. Am I being insensitive?
Bro.
Six kids and a dog, though.
Six kids and a dog, and then six, Cousin Oliver comes
six,
along.
Six kids, a dog, and Cousin Oliver. Six kids, a dog, Cousin Oliver, and then Peter dressing as two different characters for Halloween.
Right, as pork chops and applesauce.
Mm-hmm. Greg's up in the balcony, you know, checking out the UFOs. You like
but
how
if
I did
don't,
that?
Do you if
like
you how I don't did that? Have the maid, uh-huh. then you don't have a creeper like Sam coming around.
Oh, I said Mel. My brain is not on right. Sam. Love that. Sam.
Hey, Alice, you ready to go bowling tonight?
Yeah, I mean, the stereotypes abound back then. those shows just,
I think,
absolutely,
you know, and
crazy.
A couple of times they showed Alice's, I mean, she essentially like lived in a closet in that house.
So, yeah, do you remember where they showed where she was sleeping in the haunted house one?
Right.
What?
Yeah, using that little like side pantry off of the kitchen.
Yes. Didn't you feel kind of bad? I felt dirty and gross
felt horrible
after they
because,
showed that.
And I, you know, and I felt horrible for her and for Sam because, you know, when they quote unquote went bowling.
Mm-hmm.
Sam's not picking up the spare in that room.
No. I mean, for the love of God. I mean,
he's dealing with a 7-10 split.
Yeah. You can cut your schwanz
a nearly impossible shot every time he comes over.
You can get a splinter on your schwanz from a shelf in there. It's such a small space.
He's lucky, he's dinging it off of one pin.
Yeah. I mean, what the producer... You know, they looked at each other and they're like, let's show where Alice lives. And the people looked at that person like, dude, we don't have any more room on the set. And he's like, oh, don't worry. We'll make this work where it looks like she lives in this room. I mean, my God.
I mean, how big of an asshole is Mike Brady? Because he built that house, right?
Yes.
He's an architect. He designed that house.
Maybe he thought, oh, and it was his maid. If you remember, I think it was his maid because
Because he was a single dad?
Well, I think Alice, I really think Alice and his wife had to get to know each other in like one of the first episodes. I'm almost positive that Alice was his maid. And I think, I don't know. It's just odd.
Let's go with it.
Yeah, it's just odd. Like, how do you not, he's got that awesome study that they only show like the back of the drawing table when he's talking to Greg usually.
Yeah, no shit. Drape a freaking, you know, blanket in there and give Alice some space.
Yeah, you can't futon that crap up and get something going for Alice. I mean, I know when Sam comes to town, maybe you don't want, you know, you're sitting there trying to draw your next plans. You don't want the butcher.
Comes to town, you mean has sex with Alice. Right?
Yes. You don't want the butcher, you don't want the butcher with the meat on the, you know what I'm saying. I don't have to get too graphic about it. It's not right.
Please do.
Making a butcher and meat and sex, tie here.
I've like heard that analogy before.
Yeah. You know, the butcher that brings the meat.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, you don't want that when you're trying to draft some plans.
I don't know. If I'm Alice, I would have quit a long time ago with those kind of living conditions.
I think Alice shouldn't need Greg in the nuts when he's like, I'm taking the attic and going to make that freaking Johnny Bravo fancy.
Yeah, Alice, no shit. How Alice never claimed the attic in advance is beyond me.
I mean, when Greg moves up to the attic, Alice should have moved into the boys' room in his bed.
Awesome. She should have gotten a single bed.
Yeah.
While Peter and Bobby still shared the bunk bed.
Yeah, you stay bunked. Throw Alice in there.
Yep.
She could roll out of the
bed. Oh, boys, don't mind. Sam's coming over around one.
She could roll out of the window and right onto that trampoline and bounce up to town to grab some food for the next day. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Just right now in these last couple of minutes, we've already would have extended the life of the Brady Bunch by a good two or three seasons.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I mean, people would be binge watching that thing on Netflix right now. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Still be going.
Half the cast is dead, but yet it's still going.
Yeah, it's still going, exactly. Well, Sam, you know, you have a stand-in. Sam. Oh, my God. Joe Namath on that show was classic.
Go long, Bobby.
It was a little odd. I dug when he was on that show, though, like when he just showed up when Bobby's sick. It was Bobby, right? But he pretended to be that he was dying. Peter set it up, maybe?
Yeah.
I think. I mean, that was...
Because that show took place in California. They had, like, Don Drysdale on.
Yes.
And I know that Joe Namath played for the Rams later in his career, but I want to say that at the time he was probably still on the Jets.
Yeah, I think he was. I think he was just such a big deal. I think, and he I'm sure like,
oh my,
like OJ and a lot of different people, like he wanted to break into acting. So like any opportunity, I'm there, Bobby.
Oh, he was in some movies in the 60s. He was in like a Western, I think. It was like a motorcycle movie, CC Rider.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Do you have a favorite Brady Bunch episode? I mean, I have a bunch, but I mean, I guess there's one specifically.
You had a bunch.
He has a star, yeah. I mean,
I'm a huge fan of the Brady Bunch, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, but you are now. So, like, for now, you are. And which so you could just throw out, like, one that you remember, if it's the Joe Namath one or something, and then that's your favorite. Come on. You got Davy Jones?
Yeah, Davy Jones is definitely my favorite, I think.
That's great.
Fucking Davy Jones.
Yeah. A lot of people like the Hawaiian two-parter with Vincent Price.
Yeah. I mean, the Grand Canyon when they shove the beans into the flashlight's kind of fun.
Oh man, I forgot about that. Kind of did like a little twinge when that happened. Then you're like, oh, okay, I guess that's okay.
They don't count because they were like very special Brady episodes. Kind of like
yes.
the one.
Yes.
It might not have been a two-parter, but the one when they're running through the amusement park because they've got to get Mike's plans back to him because they did something.
What's this? I'm trying to think of the music they're playing. I think it's their typical Brady Bunch, you know, music that they got going when they're running and they're doing it baton style.
Yeah. I don't remember what amusement park. I don't think it was Disney World. It might have been like, you know,
Disneyland.
Wings maybe. Over Sacramento or something.
Yeah. Like that. Do you remember what the plan? What was in the plans by accident? They got mixed up.
There's probably like a Nazi super weapon.
No. Jan had was drawing something for like her art class or something.
Jan was drunk. She was an alcoholic in that episode.
Drawing. Okay. And I think she drew a picture of what's the bear's name? The picnic basket.
Oh, she was
what a picnic basket.
It was a naked model.
Nope. No. It was the bear. Yogi Bear. It was a picture of Yogi Bear. Mm. And you know what? Maybe – actually, it wasn't – I take it back. Jan didn't draw it. She just wanted a poster. So they put the poster. They had it in a very similar kind of a container, and it got mixed up. That's what it was.
And you've got a very Brady memory.
I do. Well, watched each show probably 405 times, so – You gotta be proud of your accomplishments in life. But
I'm gonna give you a very Brady sticker for that.
Thank you. I hope it's a puffy with googly eyes.
Oh, of course. You can scratch it, but don't sniff it.
Do you remember anything from from the Davy Jones Brady Bunch?
Yes.
For people who have not seen this episode, it's must watch. It is now. I mean, it is 100% must-watch TV.
I still don't know where exactly they lived, but they were always within minutes of something, you know, exciting. You know, they were in the suburbs, but it's like, oh, hey, you know, Davy Jones is in town to cut a record. So let's just go down to the, you know, either they're down at the TV studio or they're down at the recording studio, and people just would kind of walk right in while Davy Jones is in the sound booth cutting, you know, cutting his new record. And this was post Monkees, by the way.
Yeah.
So this is Davy Jones solo.
You talk about some really poor security. I mean, it is just, you know, non-existent in that episode, where it's like you have a celebrity recording, no less, not even just out and about somewhere.
When you think about how insecure these Brady kids were, they were always over-promising shit that they couldn't possibly deliver on until the last minute. By some miracle, things happen. You know, because Marcia told her class that she was going to have Davy Jones perform at the school dance or something like that.
Where did that even come from? Where her parents were talking about him or something? I mean, how does that even enter into?
All I know is that if I was Desi Arnaz Jr., I would have been fucking pissed because Marsh was all over Desi Arnaz Jr. until Davy Jones comes along, rightfully so. I mean, Davy Jones is like, you know, just drops a little, hello, Marsha. Yep. And, you know, panties drop. 60s panties.
Yeah. There's a couple things in that episode that put me in the absolute zone of childhood. There's something about, like, when he's recording and he's looking up at the mic while he's singing, and then he let's do another one, okay, that's a good, you know, whatever, and then he like looks, I think he like hears Marcia because they have the sound on still, so he hears Marcia, but I must speak to Davy Jones, like she just like snuck in, opened the door, like it was just like anybody could just,
and he had that goofball
in.
Like engineer, like, great job, Davy.
Yes.
Let's do another take.
Yeah. Okay, he's legit. And here comes Marcia, just like opens the door. Yeah, just like,
I don't remember his name, but it sounded like, it seems like his name should have been like Rod or something like that. Like, yeah. I'm picturing like Davy, like in the, like, hold on a second, Rod.
Did she put on the hat and glasses to sneak in? Something weird happened because there was a line outside.
She had
outside.
Like that sun hat, you know, like that huge brimmed hat and like the Gloria Steinem like sunglasses on.
Hello, Marcia. I'm telling you, girl,
look what you've done to me, and my whole
world.
Now that's
I'm telling you, girl.
You know, there's a line before that, and I don't know what it is. There's a line right before that.
It's a thin ruled line.
It could be. I'm telling you, girl, for making the sunshine brighter, girl.
Making a better world for me.
I refuse to sing at your dance, girl.
Done to me.
You've embarrassed yourself. You've embarrassed yourself in front of your class. I won't sing at your dance next week. No. That would have been a way better.
Sunshine brighter, girl.
That would have been a way better lesson if he would have sung to her that there's no way he's going to her.
I'm telling dance, you, Masha.
Because she promised something she couldn't deliver. And then he comes by the house.
In hell I'll be.
And then he comes by the house.
Up to your shitty dance.
Oh, man. I love
You're
that he was on.
You're making me hell all over the keyboard, Masha. Hell all over my trousers, baby. Hell.
That's a good one, Davey. That's a wrap. Thanks, Jimbo.
Thanks, Rod.
He's like the fake Kincaid.
It is Rod, isn't it? Actually, it's Carl. Great job, Rod.
Good job, Rod.
That's great, baby.